greetings all of our Facebook and YouTube family and friends. We also want to welcome our Charisma podcast family. May the Lord bless and keep you. It is a wonderful time to be in the kingdom of God, and we are excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm going to take just a minute to give you a moment to come on. Good to hear you. GBTN, listening from work. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining. Let us know where you're coming in from, where you're watching. We want to welcome you and make sure to pray over the territory. And again, it's, I believe, an important thing that we're praying for land and territory and regions, that we by the Spirit are giving ear to the things of God concerning the assignment of God concerning the land. Bless you, Sister Yolanda. Good to see you. Sister Anna, so good to see you again. Tune in. Here is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if we would pray and we would humble ourselves, turn from our own ways, learn the ways of God, then we would hear from heaven, or God would hear from heaven, forgive sin and heal the land. Bless you, Mario Martinez. Thank you for being here. Sister Eunice, Sister Rose, Bonet, the Lord bless you. Julie, so good to see you. Lisa, thank you for being with us. Sister Mary, thank you for mentioning Riverside. San Bernardino is on. And again, we have an assignment to pray over land and territory and region, to be those who intercede for the earth realm. And in doing so, I believe God can deliver and heal your city, your realm, your region, your territory. Bless you, Sherelle. So good to see you. Thank you for being with us. But again, if you can just put your location, we're going to keep that place lifted, because wherever the remnant are, they are the salt of the earth and they are the light of the world. I'm going to repeat that. Wherever the remnant are, they are the salt of the earth and they are the light of the world. Light brings illumination. It expels darkness. Bless you, Sister Brandy Lawson. Good to see you. Bless you, Pastora Madeline Pimentel. So good to see you. Anna Rosa, so good to see you. Arthur, so good to see you. We are the light of the world. Now, light expels darkness, but salt is a preservative. And one thing that salt was used for, many things in the olden day, it would preserve meat. So nowadays, you eat your food, you've got leftovers, your asada, your steak, your chicken, and you put it in a controlled environment. You put it in a cooled space so the meat doesn't go bad. And in those days, they didn't have refrigeration as we have it today. So good to see you, Crystal. Thank you for joining us, Nick. Blessings to you as well from Kenya. So good to see you from Kenya. Lancaster's on, Beaumont's on, Georgia. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being here. Again, Redlands. So they would put salt on the meat to preserve the meat so it wouldn't spoil. So one of the things salt is a preservative. I'm not talking about jealousy. You know, speaks about, there's a word now, you're salty or bitter. But I'm talking about having a difference in your life. Living as a child of God, you are a preservative to your generation and to your territory. Bless you, Juanita Thomas from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for being here. The Bible says that Lot was that preservative. And though the covenant that Abraham made with God for Sodom was if there could be found 10 righteous, he started with 50. The scripture tells us that there was a company found of 4, and he ended with 10. And the angels were, Genesis 17 and 18, looking for 10. Do you've got anybody else that we can bring in? I'm just sharing some thoughts so we can know how to pray effectively. And he said, no, there's only me, my wife, and 2 daughters. So there was 4. So the prerequisite had not been met. 10 righteous were not found, so the city was not spared. But when Lot was leaving the city, according to your Bible, he negotiated for a sparing of one of the cities. And the remnant was the one who preserved because of the remnant. Let me encourage you, where there is no salt and there is no light, destruction comes, darkness comes, decay comes, and you are that salt, you are that light. So if the people that have the name of God on them would humble themselves, worship, but also fast and pray, then I would hear from heaven. You say, well, what good is fasting and praying? Let me encourage you, bless you, Sister Denise, so good to see you, bless you, Pastor Edie, the remnant. That's exactly right. When destruction was coming to Nineveh, the prophet Jonah didn't want to go because I heard some teaching on this, and I believe it to be true. The prophets were persecuted and martyred in Nineveh. So they didn't receive the prophetic word. They were known for killing the prophets. They were known for destroying and attacking the people of God. But let me encourage you, when Jonah finally got there after he spent a few days in Whale University, he had to learn a lesson. And let me just clarify this. The Bible says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. So just so you know, Jonah died. Just so you know that. Oh, well, I remember in Sunday school, I saw a little picture of Jonah in a bell, in like Pinocchio's dad, Geppetto, in the belly on a little raft praying. The Bible says that he died. So as Jonah died and was in the abyss for 3 days, and he prayed and God rose him to fulfill his purpose. This is how powerful purpose is. Jesus said, the same way Jonah was in the belly, the Son of Man will be in the earth. So Jesus died. Jonah died. You can't live in the belly of an animal. There's no animal that you can actually live in. They don't exist. And let me make it clear. God rose him from the dead to fulfill the purpose of God. And God's purpose is that powerful. And when he went to preach the message and he said, I'm going to pay my vow. This is how powerful a vow is. When you make a vow, God will move heaven and earth so you can fulfill your vow. I will pay what I vowed. I will do what I've been commanded to do. And therefore, he rose him from the dead, and God spared the city of Nineveh because a man delivered a message and the nation turned and began to pray and fast. Bless you, Royal Queen. So good to see you. Denise, thank you for joining us. Grace, thank you for being here. But Ballyard, so, well, that's one place. How about the Bible says that Esther had moved into the palace now, and she is enjoying her anointing. She's now the queen, and, you know, like the Jeffersons, she's moved out of the ghetto and to a deluxe apartment in the sky. She's blessed, she's favored, and now a decree is made against the Jewish people. And though no one knows it, Hadassah or Esther is an undercover Jew. The king doesn't even know it. The Bible says that her uncle sends word, you're gonna have to get up and say something, and she tries to double talk. You know, maybe ain't my time, and you know, look for somebody else. And her uncle rebukes her, just so you know. The Bible says, the scripture tells us, Mordecai said, you were called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. We're going to look at that. I guess we started early. We're just talking just a minute, and that's good, good kingdom wisdom. Esther chapter 4. Going to go there and verse number 4, and we heard this part, right? So we like this. So go to actually 4 verse 14. I said 4 verse 4. All right. Esther chapter 4 verse 14 says, for if altogether you hold thy peace at this time, there shall rise then shall enlargement and deliverance of the Jews arise from another place. So Esther is trying to slip out of this thing. Bless you, Kingdom Living. Bless you, China and George. Bless you, Sister Priscilla. For if you hold your peace, Esther, her uncle's talking to Esther. And actually go back a little bit. Go to verse 12. And they told Mordecai of Esther's words. What were those words? They were, you know, you may need to get somebody else. I'm in the palace now. I'm above these things. I don't know what got in her mind. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not yourself, that you will escape in the king's house more than the rest of the Jews. So she was, you know, in her anointing, but I guess she was forgetting where she came from. And then Mordecai says, for if you altogether don't say something at this time, there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. So if you don't say something, if you don't open your mouth, if you don't decree the word of God, enlargement, which is promotion and deliverance, is going to come from somebody else. Don't ever think that God is hostage to your obedience. I know you are valuable, but here is what God told Mary. You are important. But if you say no, God will raise up somebody else. If you decide to change your mind, bless you, Sister Marissa, bless you, Sister Teresa, make it clear. Mary was blessed among women. What that means is there were others, if she said no, that God would have went to. This is who God wanted. So if you say no, God will rise up another. Let me make it, if you're disobedient, if you won't obey God, listen. I know we're in a seeker-friendly generation, and the church is, you know, when I feel like it and when I'm in the mood, and our generation is so sensitive to people's emotional states of being. But in the church we grew up in, you know, it was God's way. It was the highway to heaven or the highway to hell. We didn't tell no. We didn't tell God we'd get back to him. We didn't say, God, give me a break. I'm taking 6 months off, a year off. I'll be back. Let me pray on it. No. We didn't know we could tell God no. It was all the way in or all the way out. Just let me say that. Verse 14, for if you altogether hold your peace at this time, enlargement and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. That's a strong rebuke there. That ain't no light thing. See, if you're quiet, if you think you're going to escape because you're up in this palace, you're going to get the same judgment as the world, but not only you, your father's house. Everyone in your lineage is going to be destroyed because you didn't stand up. You think running is going to save you? You think hiding and being disobedient is going to spare? No. It's going to bring judgment to your lineage, not blessing. See, if God called you to be a deliverer and you won't deliver, God will raise up somebody else. But the Bible says you and your lineage will be erased. That's what that word means, cut off. Not me. Yes, help me, Holy Ghost. It's a little strong, but you and your father's house will be cut off or destroyed. But who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. See, we only quote that one little part. Everyone knows that part, but no one sees the rebuke there. Then Esther bade them and answered Mordecai, go gather all the Jews. And see, changed up now real quick. She got a good attitude adjustment real quick. She got an adjustment. Praise, thank God for Mordecai. Amen. Go gather the Jews that present themselves at Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go to the king, which is not according to the lie, and if I perish, I perish. So before the woman of God went before the king, which was unlawful, there was a 3-day fast by the nation of Israel, the leaders, but the nation went into a consecration and a fast. Second testimony where fasting and prayer brought salvation to a generation. When we contend and get in the gap, things begin to happen. Change begins to come. Bless you, Sister Nina. It is God's will to bring preservation, that when the people of God humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God, then we turn from our wicked ways. Now, the word wicker can be evil, can be perverted, can be sin. It means these things, but it's also the word wicker, which means twisted from original design, where we get the word wicker furniture, to be twisted out of original shape. And one of the greatest iniquities is that we won't let God form us into what we must be, so we cannot do what we need to do. Can the clay fight with the potter? Can the clay say, what are you making? But yet, we are God's clay in the hands of the master, and we've resisted our make. You said, not me, yes, us. We've been we've hardened areas. And I don't know why we're talking about this, but let me encourage you by the Holy Ghost. God wants to bring salvation and healing to America. God wants to bring deliverance to South Africa. God wants to bring breakthrough to Louisiana, to California. God wants to heal and deliver and save by the power of his might. But he needs a remnant. We're in the word already. God bless this word. Encourage your people. Strengthen each region. Let them be empowered. Let us go further and deeper and know what the mind of God is concerning your will. I ask you for the grace of your spirit. I ask you for the goodness of God to release over us. Amen. I ask that the word of God and the grace, pray now a moment. Lord, I pray that every hindrance and every obstacle to this word would be broken off of the ears of your people. I pray that strength would come to these Esthers and to these Daniels and to these Josephs. They are vital. They are important. They are so special to you, God. But I pray that our hearts would remain moldable and pliable and teachable. Thank you that you're moving in power. Thank you that you're moving with grace. Thank you that you're moving with authority. Thank you that you're moving with wisdom and power. And we receive the anointing of your spirit now. Move upon each heart and listener now, and we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. Again, thank you for being with us. I'm going to ask you where we're teaching. If you've been blessed by this so far, if you can hit that share button. I know we don't want to disrupt what's happening, but taking a minute to share and letting somebody hear the word of God may impact someone's life. Amen. All right, let's go back, if you would, to Romans 8:21. So we see in these instances the people of God humbling themselves and praying. We were just reading 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we humble, if we pray, if we fast, if we turn from our own wicked ways, then God hears from heaven, or a sound comes from heaven, then God forgives sin. And you say, well, we're in the New Testament. Sin is already taken care of. Yes, but it must be applied. The blood must be applied by the kings and priests. Isn't Jesus the high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Yes, bless you, Daniel. So good to see you. Thank you for joining us. But God made us kings and priests. We'll read this very quickly. Revelation 5 verse 10 says, I have made you unto God kings and priests, and you will reign in the earth. He made us to God kings and priests, and we will rule in the earth. You're meant to rule. Go to Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, the same concept here. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood and have made us kings and priests. Unto God our Father, to him be glory, dominion. So Revelation, 1 Peter 2:9. We now are priests. Bless you, sister Denise. Thank you for joining. One of the job of the priest, number one, to minister to God. Number two, to minister to people on behalf of God. The priest must apply the blood. The priest must be those who apply the blood on behalf of people and graft them in to kingdom communion and relationship with God. And so we have in our charismatic Pentecostal theology thrown the baby out with the bathwater. What's that mean? We have attacked the Roman Catholics in their theology because we have not understood order and the power of ambassadorship. That God sends one, and if you receive the one, you receive him that sent. That's Bible. And the Catholics understand this. Some of the charismatics don't understand this. That in order to get God, you must go through the door. And men are doors. He said, it doesn't mean that people can't have encounters with angels. But I'm very careful. Everywhere in the Bible, when an angel encountered a man, New Testament, he would send them to men. They didn't have, you know, doesn't mean that an angel can, and I got saved in my room and I called on Jesus. That's very possible if you were under a covering. Your mama was praying, your dad was in relationship, and through the covenant with somebody praying for you. But make it clear, When God wanted to get Cornelius, he sent him Peter. How come God didn't preach to Cornelius himself? Because God uses representation. And so you don't stay at the door, you come through the door. Jesus was not the destination, but the door. He was the gateway. And so Jesus said, if they receive you, they receive me. If they receive me, they receive him that sent me. This is called the power of apostolic assignment. The word apostello is the Greek word, which means sent ones. And in order to preach, you've got to be sent by God. How can you hear without a preacher? But how can you preach unless you're sent by God? You don't just go, you've got to be sent. A lot of people just go. A lot of people just start moving in their ministry without somebody in authority commissioning them and releasing them into kingdom assignments. Let me make it clear. You can have personal relationship with Jesus. That's right. But God does not overlook earthly authority. So I'm not going to get into all that, but let me make it clear. Here's what 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, that he made us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, ye are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. So what does that mean? The job of the priest is to apply the blood. Make that clear. God will send you to people to preach a message. It doesn't mean an angel can't speak something, but the job of preaching is not to angels. God left this to men. Angels do not have the responsibility to preach the gospel. They cannot preach the gospel. It is not biblical for angels to preach the gospel. My angels preach, where is that in the word? I know what you said you heard. I know what you felt, but where is it, the word that angels preach the gospel? They told. Now, here's what they did. They did say, you know, shepherds, y'all go ahead and go that way. A savior's born, go ahead and go meet him. They led them to the way, but the message of the kingdom was committed to men and women of God. We are now stewards. Let's get to this. Let's make a left turn. Go, if you would, to Second Corinthians chapter 4. All right. Second Corinthians chapter 4, actually, yeah, verse 1. The job of men of God and women of God is to be stewards of mysteries. Every teacher should have in their treasury things old and things new. You should be able to teach the child ABC, give them milk, but you must have in your treasury also things new. Revelation, ancient mysteries. And the weight of the man of God, the woman of God, is measured by the measurement of mysteries that they are stewards of. I don't have any mysteries. Then you need to check your calling and your timing for your calling. Doesn't mean you don't have a calling, but you've got to wait till God loosed it to you, mysteries. You hearing me by the Spirit? We are stewards of mysteries. Let's read this. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, let every man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries. The job of men and women of God is to minister to one another. That is the word priest, or that can be tied to servant. Minister is the word hupo retesi, servant. And a minister is a servant. So yes, we're to minister as priests unto God and to one another, but we are to steward mysteries. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, what mysteries has God revealed to you? What hidden thing? Now let's look at this word mystery. We may be teaching this next month at This Rock International, the secrets and the mystery. It is the word mysterion, hidden things, secret mystery, religious secrets, hidden secrets, a hidden purpose or counsel. So Paul was a steward of mysteries. Peter was a steward of mysteries. This is why the Bible needs interpretation. Bless you, Wednesday. So good to see you from South Africa, Pretoria. The Lord bless you and the B family there. God bless you, Denise. Bianca, thank you for being here. Sheila, so good to see you. The encounter of God is to reveal things. So yes, we can have angelic encounters, but they're messengers. They are bringing messages. And the job of discipling nations God gave to men and women. Men and women of God, not just men, but men and women, mankind. So we are to be stewards, which are overseers, managers of mysteries. Moreover, it's required, verse 2, that stewards, that a man be found faithful. So the measure of the man and the measure of the woman in the kingdom is tied to the mystery that they steward. I don't have any mysteries yet, Apostle. That's all right. It's in you. Keep going. Keep learning. Keep submitting. Keep growing. Bless you, Brother Gilbert. Keep pursuing. What is your mystery? What is your life revelation? What is what God is giving you? What is your assignment? But that assignment is an unveiling and a mystery which you will bring to this generation. You've been called to steward mysteries. Go back to Romans 8:21. So here is what God wants his people. We're going here and there today, but hear me by the Spirit. Bless you, Sister Cindy. Bless you, Sandra Rodriguez. So good to see you. Bless you, Mel. One of the jobs of the children of God is to raise up in their generation and to be light and salt in the earth, to preserve a generation. Now, light illuminates. It gives revelation. So the hidden things, the mysteries are revealed. And that's not always sin being revealed, but what's done in the dark or what's hidden in the dark will be revealed. The creature must be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means that the authority in the earth must be taken out of the hand of wicked and corrupted men and women who do not fear God, who do not love God, who do not reverence his name, and it must be transferred into the hands of sons and daughters of God. That is you. That is your generation. You are that generation that will receive the keys or the secrets of the kingdom. Then with those keys you loose and bind. This is the assignment of God. This is the will. He said, I want the earth. I want creation. I want everything created, every creature that has a being, to be delivered from the bondage and the slavery of corruption. So where are we now? I was praying and the Lord said, I'm about to reveal secrets to those who I trust. These secrets are not things God doesn't want anybody to know, but they are mysteries that when they are revealed, they unlock greater dimensions of power, dominion, and authority. Here is, we're going to Chronicles in a moment. I heard this loudly this morning and it kept coming back to me, and he said to declare it. First Chronicles 12, verse 32. There were 12 tribes and each tribe had a distinguishing grace. The Benjamites were skilled with, I believe, the Benjamites were skilled with the spear. This is why Saul the Benjamite threw the spear at David and missed. And the only way he could miss is the angel moved it. Because the Bible says that the Benjamites could hit a gnat at a hair's breadth. They didn't miss. God guided the spear of the Benjamite. Judah are the praisers. The Levites are joined to the Lord. Every tribe has a specific grace and a specific language, an identity and an ideology that comes with that grouping. Though they are one Israel, they are different parts of the body. Well, where is that in the New Testament? Seven kinds of churches, different graces, different anointings, different measures to make up one body. At least seven in the New Testament, John the Revelator is addressing. So there are different graces, though there is one kingdom. Here is what Chronicles says, chapter number 12, verse 32, and the children of Issachar. I'll say that again, the children of Issachar. Now the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Hear me by the Spirit. Don't know about other nations, but I do know that America, though it is a young nation, is an example. It is a direction. And so goes America, so goes the world. I didn't choose that. I didn't pick that. And so what happens in the White House, what happens in the nations of the world, what happens in the earth at times is reflected by what happens in the seats of authority in America. And so in America, we've got 3 months, August, September, October. August, September, 90 days plus. And God has a plan. The wicked, the evil, the demonic have a plan. I've seen this plan, and it is threefold: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'll say it boldly. I'll say it. And they are doing everything in their power to keep the plan of God at bay and to execute their plan of theft, of death, and of destruction. It includes more pandemics. It includes famines. It includes pestilence. It includes wars in America, on American soil. It includes forced famines where they stop food trucks and food supplies. It includes all of these things. This is the job of the enemy. And what happens in America will happen in South America. It will happen in, it'll happen in South Africa. What happened? These powers and global forces, they are not God. They hate God. Most of these powers are anti-Christ. Say it again. They are anti-kingdom. And the job of the anti-kingdom is a one-world government outside of Christ Jesus. It is a one-world system. The Antichrist is the nature of the beast. It is a mark. It is a way of thinking. And the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Though the man of perdition will arise at an appointed moment, the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. The Bible says it's already here. He that denies that Jesus is Lord is Antichrist. Are you hearing me? There are not many ways to God. No matter what your favorite preacher says, no matter what your contaminated minister says, there are not many ways to God. We don't all serve the same God. Buddha, and now we're not judging folk, but there's one way to God, and that is through Jesus the Christ. No other way to the Father except through him. That word is controversial. Very, very contra. So people won't talk about it. People won't declare the truth, and people won't be bold enough to say what thus, not everybody, but many people won't. Why? Because they become people pleasers. The Bible is still the word of God. The blood still has power to heal. But God is looking for people that know the season and the time and what the church should be doing at that time. What should we be doing now? What is the activity we should be preparing? He said, I want to reveal to the sons of Issachar. Now, let's look very quickly at that word. Issachar is the word Issachar. Issachar. It is the word, there is a recompense. There is a reward. Those who know there is a reward. Now, I need you to hear me by the Spirit. Let me say this. God is about to reward. This is a season of reward. That which was sown in the Spirit is going to reap blessing and favor and abundance and miracles. If you've sown to the Spirit, you are going to reap life and life abundance. That's good news to some of you listening that have felt you've done all these good things and you've done all these right things and you've done all these sacrifices, and where is my reward? Hear me by the Spirit. The Lord is your exceedingly great reward. God told Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield. I am your buckler, and I will cause nations to be blessed by you. Do you comprehend that is still our covenant to bless nations? Not just to get a car or a house or a big church, but to bless the nations of the world. To gain a global vision, that's your calling, that is your destiny, that God would form and reform and retool and re-equip you and then empower you to go for before nations and to say what thus says the Lord without fear or intimidation, without batting an eye. You can put your finger in the face of Pharaoh and command him to let God's people go. Or you can go to Pharaoh and command him to be counseled. See, there were two types of direction God brought. See, sometimes you're going to have to rebuke the Pharaoh. Sometimes you're going to have to counsel the Pharaoh. Joseph counseled the Pharaoh and became a father to the Pharaoh. I'll say that again. Let me read this to you. Some of you got to go back and watch the message from last Sunday at the RTA. Genesis chapter 45, Verse number 8, Joseph became father to the Pharaoh. Let me declare this. There is a changing of the guard happening. And in first, keep right there. Don't move yet. Don't move yet. We're going to get into this a little thick. I feel it by the Holy Ghost. Stay in Genesis 45:8. In 1 Chronicles, where I just read, where the sons of Issachar could discern the time and knew what Israel should do, 200 were equipped. A few verses earlier, the kingdom is changing hands. They are moving from the regime of Saul into the rulership of David. Now, there was a changing of the guards. It's happening now. I'll say this again. There is a changing of the guards. Bless you, Sister Leo. Bless you, Sister Mary. Now, here is what the Bible says of Joseph. So Joseph said, so now it was not that you sent me hither, but God, you didn't send me here. My brothers persecuting me didn't send me here. It may have been the means through which I got out of my father's house, but it wasn't my brothers selling me and sending me to die and sending me to slavery that got me here. One Potiphar's wife that falsely accused Joseph that got him here. It was God that got him there. And God was building a man so that he could put trust in that man or woman at an appointed time. He's building you. He's equipping you. He's fortifying you. And I know what you see in the kingdom now. I know what you see, and I know you could do that. But what you don't see is the change that's here that we cannot do without a weight of glory being inside of us. Mental, emotional, spiritual soundness. Spiritual fortification on the inner man so that when God launches you before kings and priests, you can either rebuke them or you can counsel them. Keep reading here. Bless you, Pastor Jaime. So now it was not you that sent me, but God. And he made Joseph, made me a father to the Pharaoh and Lord, owner of all of his house and a ruler of all the land. Did you hear that? Now, I know Pharaoh said, you know what, you're second in command and only in the throne. But here is what God said. That's my kingdom. The earth is the Lord's. I said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness there. I'm in Psalms 24:1 now. The earth is the Lord, the fullness, the world, and they that dwell, they are mine, says the Lord. God said in the prophets, the silver is mine, the gold, it's all God's. I said it's all. You think earthly kings own it? They don't own anything. You think devils own it and witches own it and millionaires and billionaires own? They don't own anything. It's God's stuff. He said, God made me a father and made me owner of everything in the house of Pharaoh. That's how God saw it. Now, I know what Pharaoh said, but God said, now you own it, Joseph. You, because I want you to be in charge of this stuff. Hear me by the Spirit. God is looking to raise up those priests and kings and prophets that are fathers to kings. Keep reading, the Bible says. Let me give you another verse. The Bible says, 2 Kings 6:21. That the prophet said, I had to be your father. And the king of Israel said to the prophet, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I? The king said to the prophet, father. The king said, this thing is about to happen again. What do you mean? I'm telling you, God is about to show who his real men are. I said, God is about to make known who his real men are. The fear of God is about to return for the people of God and the church of God and the world. See, if you read the Bible says the earth was afraid of Israel. They had heard what God did to Egypt and the noise of what took place. And they said, if God could do that to Egypt, they were fearful of this. They were afraid of the hand of God on the man of God, on Moses, and on that Joshua generation. You understand that God said, I'm going to bring the glory of the latter will be greater than the former. I'm going to raise up a church in whom the gates of hell will run off of the earth. Don't you understand who you got with you, who's on your side, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I will give to that people the keys of the kingdom, the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom. And whatever they bind on the planet, I will bind from heaven. Whatever they allow in the earth, I will allow from heaven. These people are deputized. They're not fakes. They're not phonies. They live this thing out. They are in authority, but they're also under authority. And they now go into these places and they command. See, the Pharaoh wasn't used to people talking to him like that. What do you mean, command me, the Lord says? He said, yeah, the Lord isn't suggesting you let them go or else. I said, you let them. This is completely contrary to the doctrine that we've been teaching in the natural. But I want to tell you that God wants us to learn Holy Ghost doctrine. That the true prophets arise and put their finger in the face of kings and command them, you will make a change or the heavens will not work. The spirit of Elijah rises up and rebukes authority that is not in God's alignment. Oh, well, just pray for every authority. Then First Corinthians, then Romans say just to pray and just be quiet and wait to go to heaven. That's not what it says. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Yes, you pray the will of God. Yes, you pray. But we are not in a time of peace. We're in the time of the sword. Just so you know. I said, just so you know, you got to know, like the son of Issachar, the season and the time and what the church should be doing. We should be preparing for rulership, authority, and dominion. And so now Moses goes to the Pharaoh and rebukes him and closes his kingdom and bankrupts his kingdom and shuts his kingdom down and destroys his demonic slavery system. And another generation, God puts Joseph over the whole system before it gets perverted. In another place, Daniel counsels five kings. He gives direction and counsel. But one of the kings who touched the holy cups, the hand of God appears on the wall. And he couldn't interpret it. And from that moment, he was vexed. The Bible says there was a hand on the wall. And it appeared that no one could interpret the dream. And Daniel had been in the kingdom. He reigned for 70 years, or he governed for 70 years. And they said, there's a man named Daniel. He's been in this kingdom a long time. In him is the spirit of the gods, but I'll say the spirit of God. They brought him and he read the dream and said, you've been weighed and you've been found wanting and lacking. And your soul is now required. You're out. No, you are out. And that night, God took him out. You listening to me? You think we're still playing patty cake, worried about this? And God is looking for prophets to rise up for the nations. God is looking for apostles to rise up to deliver nations, that we understand the authority of who we are and walk in dominion. And the king of Israel said, my father, one more. We're kings. Go if you would. 2 Kings 13:14. The king, I'm reading to you some verses we already had. Now Elijah had fallen sick of the sickness, wherefore he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, oh, my father. The king is saying, your father, you're the head. But that don't look like it now. You want to know why? We don't know who we are. We think it's just about having a big church. The dream is just to have 10,000 members and they come to church every weekend. We have a big budget and a big service and we have four or five services and the city's in darkness, the city's in sin, the city's in perversion. That's not the kingdom of God. Nothing wrong with a big church. I'm not mad at a big church. You can have a big church, but is there light in the earth? Are demons being dealt with? Are cities being transformed? Are crack houses closing? Are drug houses being stopped? Are witches being stopped? Is sex trafficking stopped? Is prostitution closing? You see, when the generals of old came in the cities, the bars closed. I said, when God's generals came in the old time, the bars shut down. The strip clubs couldn't operate. You listening to me? This is how we're meant to operate in. There's another dimension of power we've got to come to in identity and in authority and in a message that awakens a knowing of who we are in the kingdom of God. So the sons of Issachar know the times and the seasons and what the church should be doing because they know the mysteries. They know the mind of God. You see, the secrets of God are the ways of God that are revealed. Go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. God is about to loose some secrets. Daniel chapter 2. Actually, go back to 18. 2 verse 18. If they can go there. Daniel 2 verse 18. I got it. Here's what the scripture says. Daniel 2. 19. Jump down to 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed God. I want you to be encouraged. God is about to loose some secrets. When the mist, now the word secret is can be tied to the word mysteries. When mysteries are revealed, you move into immediate authority in any kingdom. The kingdom of darkness must recognize the secrets of God. All right, what's happening in Daniel 2? There is a vision coming to the head of the earthly government. Earthly, God still deals with headship. But when God is done with an authority, he can remove them. We're going to read this thing right. God decides who's in authority. And the way he does this by giving the secret to the Daniels. You say, well, doesn't the Bible just say pray for everybody? No, it does not say to pray for everybody. Pray for everybody. It did not say to pray for everybody. Did Daniel in Daniel 6 pray for the king and say, well, you know what you just said, don't pray, and I need to obey and just honor Romans 13, so I need to not pray anymore. No, sir, no, ma'am. There's not one point that you ever forsake your kingdom constitution for an earthly law that is wicked. Never. You never violate the word of God for the word of an earthly king. Never. Daniel comes to the king's house, and they put before him wine and meat that is not of God. So he says, I can't eat that. The steward of the eunuch says, you're going to get me killed if you show up thin. You couldn't be thin. See, we want to be thin. Back then, you needed to be heavy because it meant you had wealth and everyone was poor. So if you were thin and you showed up before the Pharaoh thin, the eunuch was going to be put to death, meaning you're not taking care of my guests. These are ones I'm training in the mysteries. Daniel was brought to be trained, the Bible says, in the language and the arts of the Chaldeans. What is that art? That is mysteries, that is revelation, that is secrets, but it's the Masons. It's demonic witchcraft. And they wanted to teach Daniel these arts. And they wanted to graft him into the system. But Daniel had another word on his life. Daniel didn't go through other doors. Daniel didn't bow to other deities. Daniel didn't eat the meat. See, you got to know when to abstain from the meat of the king and when to cut your beard. Joseph cut his beard. That was a tradition. You can get rid of a tradition, but you cannot eat the meat of the king or drink the king's substance. You got to know when you got to put your life on the line. Daniel made a decision. If they put me in a lion's den, I'm not going to stop praying. It's called righteous defiance of tyranny. Just submit and roll over. No. So you're telling me because you need to obey the law of the land, you would have bowed to the statue, right? So here's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Hananiah, and these three Hebrew boys, they've determined not to bow to this statue. And so were they in disobedience? No, they were not. They were obeying God. You don't bow to statues. You don't forsake your Bible. You don't change the name of the Lord. You don't adapt the customs of the world. The world will adapt the customs of the kingdom if God can find men who will live for him, who will lay down their life so he can operate in victory. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? We're preaching strong today because there's a change coming. There's a weight coming. There's a power coming. And that power needs men and women who know who their God is, who live before him with integrity, with character, who are not perfect men, but they're striving for perfection. You're pursuing wholeness. And the word perfection is the Greek word teleos. You want to be whole, mentally, emotionally. You're pressing after this mark of the prize of the high calling so that when he calls on you, you can be counted on. When your name is called, you can be leaned on. I ain't nobody going to need me. You need to be ready, sir. Be ready, ma'am. Bible says Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. So Daniel doesn't eat this, and he puts a test. And the Bible says he is found 10 times better than the witches and the warlocks and the magicians and the... Let me read this to you. Daniel was found 10 times better than the magicians. Daniel 1 verse 20. All right? We're not in a hurry. I know we've got to go, but we're not in a hurry. I'm talking to leaders who know you're meant to change the world. I'm not just talking to church folk. I'm talking to ecclesia, kingdom ambassadors of the kingdom of God in the earth. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of Daniel and his three buddies, and he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the witches, and the warlocks. 10 times better, because he would not compromise. You've got to be a man or woman who is resolute, was unyielding in certain things. You've got to be teachable and pliable in other areas, but in other ways, you cannot bend. You must be a man or woman of iron. You've got to have a backbone to walk with God. If God's going to raise you up, if God's going to lead you where he needs to take you, you've got to be willing to say what thus says, for the righteous are bold as lions, but wicked people flee when no one is chasing them. That's the word. Hear me by the Spirit. Verse number 19, Daniel is in favor. He is 10 times better. He's the one they go to. Now a dream comes to the king, and God begins to show a dream to the pagan king. Daniel 2 verse 19, he shows a dream to the king, and the dream cannot interpret the dream, but the dream is coming over and over. It's a direction. It's a revelation of the future. But here's the problem, because the king is pagan. The king is an idolater. The king is into witchcraft. He cannot interpret the voice of Jehovah. So God needs a Daniel. God needs a Joseph to interpret the dream. And so the king will not tell the magicians the dream. He said, you need to tell me what the dream is so I know it's authentic. And they say, there's no one in the earth that can show you. Only God can show this. Then Daniel goes to fast and pray. He said, give me a little time. I'm going to go alone with God. And Daniel's head is also on the chopping block. Just so you know, Daniel was a part of these that were pronounced to die. If the dream was not interpreted by a certain amount of time, all of the counselors, all which Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were about to die too. They weren't going to figuratively die. They were literally going to die. And the Bible says, according to Daniel 2, go back up just a few verses. Go back to Daniel chapter 2. Go up just a little bit and verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired the king that he would give him time. He would give him time that he may show the king the interpretation. Go back up to 14. Then Daniel answered the counsel to Antioch, to the captain of the king's guard, which was about to slay Babylon. This decree went that all would be slain. 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So Daniel also was going to be slain. The king said, this is all a bunch of junk. If y'all don't tell me this dream, I'm killing everybody. I said, I'm slaying everybody. I'm going to take their whole houses, and I'm gonna make them a dung hill. I'm taking everybody out. So Daniel and his brethren were going to be slain as well. Verse 18 again. Now the Bible says, then they would desire the mercies of God, and here's what it says, that, and then that they would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. And Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of his brethren in Babylon. And the Bible says, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then God blessed Daniel. So what did God show Daniel? The dream and the interpretation. I heard this by the Spirit. God is about to release the secrets. I'm just about done. I said, God is about to release the secrets of the king's chambers to men and women he trusts, to men and women he can put weight on, to winning women of confidence and of boldness. I heard, so what does this mean? So in one text, the prophet hears the secret of the enemy's bedchambers and tells Israel where the enemy has set up ambushes. The Bible says the secrets of the bedchambers are revealed. And when the secrets of the enemy is revealed, we know where to go and what not to do. Blessings, Pastor. So good to see you. So he tells Israel, don't go here, go there. They're waiting for you. And the Assyrian king says, is there a spy among us? Is somebody for Israel? He said, no, there's a prophet in the land. That's a real prophet. That's a real prophet. We're still forming, but that's one who deals with nations. That's a real apostle, a real minister, a real fivefold. Their job is to govern nations, to steward nations. He said, through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless nations. That's our job. We've got to work up to that, but that's the goal, the assignment. You hear me? And then the king sent an army to attack the prophet. And the Bible says that the servant agreed with the vision of the prophet, and then God struck the enemy with blindness. I said, God struck the enemy with blindness. You see, when they rise up against you, God will still use blindness as a weapon. I saw it Sunday preaching. I saw 50 of them coming to the door and God just making them blind for a little bit, just for a season, not forever. See, Paul, before he was Paul, was persecuting the church and God struck him with blindness. Simon the sorcerer in the New Testament was struck with blindness for a season, not permanently. These are weapons in the arsenal of the kingdom of God. When they try to rise against the true men of God, when they came to take Lot and the two angels that were in the house, the Sodomites tried to break down the door. Four quadrants, all the quadrants, which means hundreds if not thousands of men were breaking down the door, but the angels protect doors. So when Lot was at the door, the angels pulled Lot into the door. I'm in Genesis 18 now. Then closed the door behind them, because angels protect doorways. They are gatekeepers. And they struck them with blindness. God's weapon and instrument. Right? He dealt with them. So I'm going to encourage you by the Spirit. Don't you worry. Don't you live fearful. We've got other weaponry. We've got other arsenal. But it's imperative that we change the way we think, that we come to a boldness and a confidence based on submission to authority, but also stepping into authority. Because the measure of your authority deals with the measure of your submission to authority, delegated authority. Then the secret was revealed in a night vision, Daniel 2:19, verse 20. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever. Verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom and might are his. Verse 21, and God changes. I'm done now. The seasons and the times. Remember, the sons of Issachar could know the season and the time and what the church should do in order to change the season and the time. Keep reading. He will remove a king, apostle. He will remove a president, a prime minister, a senator, a business owner, a billionaire. He will remove a king and then he will raise up a king. Who will do it? God will do this. Well, we don't see it happening now. You wanna know why? Because there's no Daniels in position. There is no Daniels in position. How does God remove a king? It shows you in the verse. He gives wisdom to who? The wise. And knowledge to those who know. And who is this in Daniel 2? Daniel. Who just got the secret? Daniel. Who just has the wisdom? Daniel. Who just now has authority? Daniel. So Daniel helps five kings. And some kings he counsels. Some kings he rebukes. And some kings he cancels. Say it again. Some of those kings he counseled. Some kings he canceled. And some kings he rebuked. There are some kings he gave counsel to. He was a counselor to them. Another king named Nebuchadnezzar, this king looked at everything he owned. And Daniel had told them to be careful about pride. Said, look what I built. Look what I've done. Look what I've built. And he looked over and God heard the whisper of his heart and he snatched the mind of Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years. I said, God snatched the mind of that king, and he ate grass for 7 years. His nails grew, his face grew, and he couldn't talk like a man. He was mooing, moo, barking like a dog, woof, woof, eating grass for. You don't tell me the kingdom is not, it should, don't tell me the church shouldn't be involved in governmental affairs, because the church is religious, yes, but the ecclesia is a kingdom government. And the reason the mess we're in, because the church doesn't understand the power behind them and the power which deals with the authority to deal with this kind of authority. When God is going to look to change a season and a time, he talks to his messengers and gives them the secrets. And then when the secret is revealed, they move into position to rebuke, to counsel, or to cancel. So some of the kings he counseled. Joseph counseled. Pharaoh canceled. Pharaoh, you out of here. Your kingdom's done. Another king, I told you, put the writing on the wall, and the Bible says they had took him the cup, the holy cups from the holy place, and the Bible says God watched him take the cups. What kind of deviant in his mind, a demon whispered in the ear of the king, they are partying, they are celebrating, they are being drunken, they are living riotously, but they decided to grab the cups and the instruments from the holiest of all that they took from Jerusalem when they conquered them. And they decided to party with God's holy instruments. Then a hand appeared on the wall and it said, you are out, king. You're gone. They couldn't interpret the dream, the writing on the wall. The Bible says a hand appeared on the wall. I'll say it again. The scripture says, the Bible says, a hand began to write on the wall. Daniel 5, verse 5. I'm going to read this to you just so you get clear, because we've been served this watered down pansy gospel. I'm sorry. This watered down, limp-wristed, polluted, just go with the flow. Just go ahead and bow to statues. Go ahead and bow to flutes. Go ahead and just, you know. And we saw 99.9% of the church folded like a cheap suit in 2020. 99.9, there were a few that didn't. We're not the only ones, but 99.9 folded in a time. When God looked in the earth, was there faith in the earth or fear or compromise or contamination? Well, I didn't know what to do. That's right, because they taught us this mess. Daniel 5, verse 5. I'm coming strong today for a reason. Because there's a strong power about to come. Daniel 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a hand. Remember the fivefold, fingers of a hand. Daniel 5, verse 5. Fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed. Wait a minute now. There's real power in the room. I said, kings don't govern rules, don't govern earths. They may operate in a certain measure of authority, but the earth is the Lord's. And the job of Elijah is to get up and say, Ahab, you better repent. If you do not repent, heaven will close on you. That's the job of real prophets. The job of John the Baptist is to stand up under the spirit of Elijah and rebuke the king for taking the wife of his brother. That's New Testament, sir. That's our job. Not to sit back and be quiet and pray to go home and get raptured out of here because you're afraid of the devil. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you hearing? Then the king's countenance changed and his thought was troubled so that the joints of his loins were loose. Are you listening to me? The man soiled himself. I'm sorry. He wet his pants or whatever else happened. I'm not concerned about it. He got so afraid that he made a mess. I never read that before. Praise God. And his knees begin to knock like typewriter key. His knees are, you never seen a picture in of a cartoon of the knees shaking and he wets himself. Fear came upon this king. A reverence of God came. Who is really in charge? Every knee will bow. Well, one day. No, sir. Today is that day. Every knee will bow. That the joints of his loins were loose and his knees began to knock together. The man's hands were shaking. And the king cried with a loud voice to his astrologers, remember, the Chaldeans, the secrets, the soothsayers. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, whoever shall read this writing and show me the meaning and the interpretation of shall be clothed with scarlet, which is kingly robes, with a chain of gold, which is another level of authority, around his necks, and he will be the third ruler in all of the kingdom. Third ruler. Then came the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known the king the interpretation. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled. Here we are again. Here we are again. Another message that they can't interpret. The witch can't interpret it. Sorry. The warlock can't interpret it. Sorry. The Chaldeans, the Masons, and all of their soothsayers, all of their magic. Sorry. They can't interpret this. This is from God. I said, this thing is from God. That God begins to show this thing, and now there's a decree that goes out. It said, whoever can operate in this level of authority and whoever can reveal the mystery of this kingdom is going to have authority and be third in the kingdom. You listening to me? Then was King's Belshazzar greatly troubled. His countenance had changed. Keep reading verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. That ain't gonna happen. Your days are done, sir. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, and let your countenance be changed. He's in fear. He's in trembling. There's a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit, there's a man in the kingdom. There's somebody in here. This man is named Daniel, in whom the spirit of the holy gods is, not the gods, one God. The spirit of Jehovah is on this man. This is the one that I want. This is the one that I've approved. This is the one that's been processed. This is the one that's been delegated. This is the one that I've chosen. This one. And in the days of your father, the light of understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods. That's all they can do. They don't know how to interpret that he's a messenger from God. They calling him God. I'm not God, but I got God in me. There should be wisdom. What is Daniel? A steward of mysteries. You don't got any mysteries, just wait. Don't be in a hurry. Sit down and learn. Sit down and get a pen and paper and learn. Sit still. I can pray. Are you stewarding mysteries? Is there a mystery? Did God show you a mystery? Okay, then let's learn to develop the mystery. If he showed it to you, let's grow it so you can articulate it, so you can express it. Let's grow it. Let's find out where you are in the journey, because God ain't going to use just one man. God is going to use men and women. God needs you, sir. He needs you to get ready. In whom the light of understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the God, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made a master of the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. This one's in charge of them all. I would have fired everybody, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding in interpreting dreams and showing hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. I got to read it again. I got to go. For as much as an excellent spirit. Excellent. Yatir. Preeminent. Surpassing. Extremely extraordinary. God, I'm looking for the extremely extraordinary. I'm searching for it. I'm after it, but I'm looking for it in the earth as well. An excellent spirit of knowledge and understanding in interpreting dreams and showing hard sentences, dissolving doubts, my God, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. The king changed his name from Daniel, Lord of the straitened treasure, the Lord of treasures. Now let Daniel be called, and he gonna show you what this means. Then was Daniel brought before the king, and the king spoke and said, Daniel, art thou Daniel, which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? You listening to this? That whole thing can preach. Are you from Judah? Are you a praiser? Did you come out of tradition into truth? I'm not going to get it. I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, that the light of understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. The king understands it. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known to me the interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation, the mystery. That's it, just mysteries. You get mysteries, you get keys, you get authority. The mysteries. Verse 16, and I heard of thee, and that you can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Wow. Not only can you interpret, you can dissolve doubts. You've got such a confidence that being around you, people lose doubt. You dissolve the doubts in people's hearts. Wow. Now, if you can read this writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou will be clothed with scarlet, a chain of gold around the neck, and you will be third ruler in the kingdom. But here is the thing. Daniel went after these things. Daniel was after God. Daniel couldn't be bought. He could not be bribed. Well, let me just water down the message so I can get that third seat. You know, I'm going to get this gold chain. And I need to just water it down. Let me just water the message down, because Romans 13 says, pray for those in authority. So if I give him the bad news, I may not get the gold chain. I may not be the third in the kingdom. I may not get my scarlet robe. You know what I mean? I need my scarlet, right? Didn't God say I'm to be clothed in righteousness? So I should water down the message. No, sir. No, ma'am. When you go before kings, you have to not have an appetite. You got to come in and obey God. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm almost out of time. Make known the interpretation. Verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Keep your stuff. Oh, Jesus, who would say, go ahead and keep it? Let your stuff stay with you. I don't need nothing you got. The church would have praised the Lord. We would have been dancing and shouting and playing servant boy. You keep your stuff. Let your gifts stay with you and give your rewards to somebody else. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and a majesty and a glory. Who gave it to him? Let me ask you, who gave it to him? The Lord God gave it to him. It don't belong to presidents. It don't belong to prime ministers. And it doesn't belong to the people pulling the strings. The people in the background, the people in charge of the presidents who you never know their names. It doesn't belong to them either. He gave it to him. 19, for the majesty that he gave him, and all the people and nations and language trembled at the kingdom and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would set up, and whom would. So he had power to kill and power to make live. He had power to raise up and power to bring down. But when his heart was lifted and his mind was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took glory, for he took glory for him. He said that he lost his mind and was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like animals. He was like an animal. He's reminding him of what happened to his father. He became an animal for 7 years. I was with the wild animals and fed on grass like oxen. His body was wet with dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled the kingdom of men. The Most High God ruled the kingdom of men. And that he appointed him over it whoever he will. He appoints whoever he wills. Thou son, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thyself in thy heart. Therefore, thou knew all this, but you've lifted your hand against God, the Lord of heaven, and have brought the vessels of the house before thee. And thou, the Lord's, and thy wives and thy concubines have drunken wine in the holy vessels. You've done messed up now. You done did it now. You crossed the line. Oh, there ain't no line. There is a line you can cross that there is no return from. It's called blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That's New Testament, sir. You done did it now. You done did it now. You drank from the vessels of wine. You have praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know not. And the God in whom thy breath is. See, you're breathing because God is lending you that breath. You remember that when you get fearful of people, of armies, of weapons, God is lending. God can snatch the breath of that person trying to stop God. God can hold their breath. Your breath is God's, but you've worshiped silver and gold. You've worshiped stone. You've worshiped man in whom your breath is, and all thy ways hast thou glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent. See, when you did this, God sent a hand, a fivefold apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher who cannot be bought, who will not be bargained with, who will say what God says, nothing more and nothing less, and they will not be moved. Then was the fivefold part of the hand sent to him, and this was the writing, that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ephorshin. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ephorshin. This is interpretation, Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and it's over. God, this great king, is done. Because of what you've done, this is over. Sounds like Pharaoh to me. God numbered your kingdom and it's finished. Number two, Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balance and you've been found lacking. God weighs men. Hear me, pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, minister, prophesier, Holy Ghost man. God will weigh you. He weighs you. Is there a weight on you? Do you blow with the wind? Are you rooted? Are you? God weighs men. He weighs kings. What's the weight of you? Are you substance? Is there a weight of God in you? Are you unmovable? Are you Look, I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm trying to get you ready for where you're going. I'm not trying to be hard on you because I just like to be hard. There's an army going to arise, and this stuff ain't it. This army that's about to arise, all this church stuff is not it. There's another level needed for the leaders in this next dimension. I said, there's another level lead. He said, you've been weighed and you've been found wanting. When God weighs you, are you going to be found wanting, or will you be found to the praise of his glory? Oh God, when we are weighed. When we are weighed, let us be found to your place. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. You've been weighed. You've been found wanting. Your kingdom is divided. It's gone. Then commanded Belteshazzar that Daniel be clothed in scarlet and a chain put around his neck, concerning him, and then he was third in the key. He still got it. But in that night, the king, listen to me. Are you hearing me? How do you deliver that message unless you are a real prophet? That man could say off with his head. But if he, see, the Bible says that there was a king that tried to kill the prophet, and when he stretched his hand to command him to be killed, the man's hand withered. God's the one in power. Before he died, Belteshazzar got the scarlet, got a chain, became third in all of the kingdom. He didn't want it. He wanted God, but he got it. In that night, Belteshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That was it. That night, he was done. Okay, praise the Lord. I can't give you no more. You still want to go over and over and misinterpret Romans 13? That's fine, because we've been fed this watered down gospel. That's fine. But if you can receive it, you must say what God says. Nothing more, nothing less. I need to pray with you. Well, I've been on longer, no more than we are. We're going to conclude. Hear me by the Spirit. Something is here. Something's not coming. Something is upon us. And we must shift our hearts back to a reverence of God, to a submission, to an authenticity, to a yielding. Whatever he says, he needs to know that that's what you'll say. Nothing more, nothing less. God, I pray now that your people listening wherever this word may find, I know this is a unique word. This is different. This is very weighty and very sobering. But God, I ask you, let those that need to hear this word, let it fall into their lap. Pray now. I ask you in the name that these men under the sound of my voice, these women listening, would give an ear to what time it is, that this is the season of the sons of Issachar to begin to learn season and times and what the children of Israel should do. So I pray over the hearts of your people, the minds of the people of God, that who is yours, let them draw near, let them draw close, let them be teachable, let them be pliable, let them be moldable, let them advance into the kingdom of God. But to those who are not yours, and to those who will not God, we commit them to you to touch their hearts. I just commit them to you, touch their hearts, that they would just walk in your way. I'm speaking about the remnant now. I pray a teachable spirit. I pray a moldable heart. I pray a heart of understanding. God, get us out of the way that we could be instruments of glory. Pray with me now. Lord, I ask you, let the angels of God go through the airways and cover the people, that wherever they need help and strength and virtue and power, wherever they need healing and deliverance, you are the answer. You are the hope. And what you are going to do is bring on the new and the great and the mighty. And I hear the Lord saying, the fear of the Lord is going to return to the church. Then the fear of the church is going to return to the world. I hear that word. Write it down. The fear of the Lord is going to return to the church. Then the fear of the church is going to return to the world. God says judgment starts at the house. Don't be afraid if you know the judge. Be flexible. Lord, whatever you want, God, we give you permission to adjust. We give you permission to deal with these areas of the heart that are in need. That we would be your men and women, steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, ever abounding. That we would add to our faith patience and to our patience endurance. Into our endurance mercy, into our mercy. God, let us begin to add to our faith and grow, for the time of movement is now upon us. Help us, Lord, to be ready and willing for what you have. Let us be moldable. Let us be teachable. Let us be yielded and submitted to you. And God, help the areas of our infirmity. All of us have them. For the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for what we ought, but the Spirit must make intercessions with groaning which cannot be uttered. Show us what we ought to pray. Teach us what we ought to think. And guide us into maturation for your glory. I command a harvest. Put those hands on the screen. I command an increase. Now, harvest is not just blessing, it's maturation. God, let a maturation come so that the sickle can come. Before there will be harvest, there will be maturity. The seed must come to full maturity in us, mind and thoughts and wills and emotions. God, grant us authority and power to think the way you think, for you've determined to reveal mysteries, secrets, God. Cover these men and strengthen them. Cover these women and gird them. Let our loins be girt with truth. Let us be men and women who can be steadfast, counted upon, and that we will not be moved. Let us be men of iron and women of endurance. Let us be unshakable, rooted and grounded on a kingdom which cannot be moved. And this I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. If you receive that, somebody say amen, amen, and amen. It was unusual today, a little different, I believe, but I believe that from that difference and from that movement, there is something indeed mighty upon us, and it is glorious in the eyes of God. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to do the work of the evangelist, if you feel led. I believe the weight of this word just requires us to be sensitive and to be open to the timing. So I'm doing that. I'm going on to the website. I'm going to begin to share this word. I'm going to ask that God would grant grace over the hearing of the word, and that God would be glorified. So thank you for joining with us. God bless you, Sister Rose and Brother Danny Bonet, Sister Margaret, Sister Sandra, all of you watching. The Lord bless you. Bernadette, thank you for joining. It was not a light word today, but it was one that I believe must be declared for a remnant. And this isn't for everybody. But I believe that many of you listening are the remnant. The weight of this word is received. Amen, Pastor. So please share the podcast, like the podcast. Let somebody know we want. Remember to pray. Remember to pray. I believe the word is going to continue to intensify. And as it does, it will call us to a higher dimension. And he's going to get the glory. So I appreciate you. We love you. We're praying. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. And we pray God's favor over you and this podcast in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, I want to give you just a little bit of direction. We are getting ready for tonight. We are going to have our midweek glory encounter. I'm excited to be with you tonight at 7 p.m. We will be right here in the city of Riverside, and we will be having our midweek glory encounter. We are concluding our last Wednesday of the month and last day of the month in the baptism of fire. I want to encourage you, there are things that God wants to show us, and there are keys that God wants to give us so that we can be answers to our generation. So if you can join us, be with us in person tonight at 7 p.m. at This Rock International, 6:30, our prayer movement begins, 7 o'clock, our worship encounter starts right about 7:30, 7:40. I'll be with you tonight to share the word of the Lord. If you cannot be here in person, make sure you watch online and get the conclusion of the matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, this Sunday, we are getting ready for our Sunday prophetic encounter service. It will be our first Sunday of the month. There will be a brand new series. God is dealing with so many things. We want to welcome you and have you with us. Sunday, 11:30, our prayer encounter begins. And then right about 12 noon, 11:30, our prayer time starts. 12 noon, our service begins with radical worship. The pursuit of God, the worship has been increasing. The anointing has been going higher. The word has been getting stronger. The presence, we're at the precipice of a breakout. So be encouraged. Bless you, Prophet Sherelle. The Lord bless you. Blessings to you. Keep us in prayer. We are going to be in South Africa the end of September through the first week of October. So get ready. South Africa, we're coming back with Prophet Zion Matthew, then with Apostle Neil Isaac. We'll also be with Patrick Rodriguez. Pastor Patrick and the Bridge Church will be in George, South Africa. We're going to be in Cape Town. We're going to be in Queenstown. So that's coming in September. I'll be giving you some dates soon and some locations so I can meet all of our South Africa family at these times of ministry. We do have something significant next month. Tomorrow is the first, and we are very excited about our Teach Us to Pray time of ministry. They also have a save the date for RTA, but I'm going to show this first. We are teaching. If they can put the RTA save the date. So the weekend is raised in the altar, and we will be also going to add to this a legacy Cirillo stamp there somewhere, maybe on the top. But it will be partnering with Life Christian Center, This Rock International, RTA, and Morris Cirillo Legacy Center. That is August 23rd, Friday, 24th, Saturday, and 25th, Sunday. And we will be raised in the altar in just under, just about 23 days from now. So just over 3.5 weeks, we will be right there in San Diego. Friday night, we'll be in San Diego at Apostle Rocky Martinez, one of our covenant brothers in the kingdom. He will be at his location Friday night, Saturday morning for a brief, shorter session. We'll have one session. It'll be shorter. It'll be one session, but a little bit shorter. And then we'll be headed for our Lord Teach Us to Pray Saturday night, the 24th at 6 p.m. Prophetess Morgan will be teaching at 2 p.m. We're going to try to get there for that. At 6 p.m., we will be doing a conjunction, a joining ministry of Raising the Altar and Morris Cirillo Evangelist, World Evangelism Partnership. 6 p.m., we will be worshiping the Lord with fire, with glory, with authority. I'll be coming to preach the word of the Lord. And then right behind me will be coming a Dr. Larry Lee to teach on prayer. And then we're going to be anointing and laying hands. That is August 24th at 6 p.m. I'm going to ask you to keep this in prayer. This is a phenomenal move of God that is going to come forth from that Legacy Center. There's only 500 seats available. I pray you've registered. There may not be seats. I pray there is still. That's at 6 p.m. So please be there for any date you can. I'm going to be there Thursday night for the opening, Friday morning, and then Friday night with Apostle and the RTA in San Diego at Life Christian Center Saturday morning. Then we'll be Saturday evening, 6 p.m. for Raising the Altar joint collaboration with Morris Rilla Legacy Center. Then Sunday morning, the church will be back here at This Rock for a powerful move. We'll have a guest speaker, and I'll conclude in San Diego. So keep that in your prayers. The Lord is moving. The doors are opening rapidly, and the power of God is going to be moving. Also, in September, we're going to be having the third weekend of September, a fivefold apostolic evangelist teacher RTA, a fivefold RTA. The day sessions will be closed and for ministers in ministry and children only. So you've got to be in ministry or a PK. In the night sessions, it will be open to anybody. But in the day sessions, it will be strictly for ministers, those in ministry, those preparing for ministry, those have a call to ministry, and their kids. We're gonna be ministering to pastors, ministers, and the PKs. There'll be a PK session, so make sure to write that down. That's September. I'll open my calendar real quick. I'm just announcing it, so it's still 2 months away, but I want all of our ministerial family, anyone is welcome. The evening sessions are gonna be impactful. It's September 20, 21, and 22 right here at This Rock. That's in September, so put that on your calendar. We'll have a save the date up by next week. We'll make sure we have that just so we can get people to save the date, and we want you to be with us in the name of the Lord. Also, our RTA partners, if you're interested in finding out information about how to partner with RTA, send an email to rta.nationspartner@gmail.com. One more time, RTA, we will be having, I believe the week after next, our private Zoom for our partners. We should have that Friday available, but we do a monthly private Zoom. There are early access to our conferences, and again, the conferences have been phenomenal, but we're going to move from hundreds and thousands to tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, even millions. And I want to encourage you to be a partner with what God is doing so that you could be a part of that. So please, if you're interested in just finding out information, pray about it first, but also send a request for a video, and they'll send you a partner. You say, well, Apostle, you're only in my area once a year, if that. Well, let me encourage you. You can connect with the RTA every month on a covenant basis. And as a pastor, I've joined the partnership. This Rock is a partner with RTA. As a husband and a father, the Leons are a partner. I've opened up two separate partner accounts, and I've already begun to see fruit in my life and in the life of those partners. So if you can, pray on it, but be a part of it in the name of the Lord. Also, there is Freedom. We're actually on TV now, Faith TV. Keep praying for us. We're on Faith TV USA, Faith TV UK. Our next expansion is Faith TV South Africa. It's the biggest market. It's up to 9 million people in the US, up to 11 million people in the UK. But the market is so huge in South Africa. That's our next step. So keep us in prayer, 8 p.m. every Sunday on Faith TV. That's live every Sunday on DirecTV, coast to coast in America. Pray for that. We are preparing and we are building. But this, I saw this broadcast being ready soon across many platforms, many networks, until we build our own network. We're going to have our own network by the glory of God. But I saw us this, we're training, we're preparing, we're sharpening the sword, we're learning so that when God calls us, we're ready. So keep that in your prayers. If you feel a need to give a seed, you can do that. There's a few giving options. Keep it in your prayer. There's a giving site there, and you can give internationally. And we're praying that God is coming. When are you coming to Phoenix, Arizona? Pray about that. We believe that God is going to guide us in the leading and the timing of the Lord. But I do feel I just received some information from a minister there. We're building relationship. What we do is we build relationship before we build ministry. So by God's grace, we do relationship before we do ministry. But we're building doors, and right now many doors getting ready to open. So keep it in prayer, GBTN, that we get to Phoenix soon, that we get to Texas soon, that we move closer. There's these doors are going to open very rapidly. We've got to prepare ourselves. So keep that in your purse. God bless you. Different ways you can give. We pray most of all, if you were blessed, share the podcast. God bless you. We love you. We can't wait to see you tonight at 7 p.m. at This Rock International Sunday at our prophetic service, or right back here next Wednesday for our prophetic podcast. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.